Hello,
I am Amanda Ray Marino, Public Affairs Officer for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Logistics Activity Center in Millington, Tennessee.
and I'm Warner Buckman, a biologist for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in the Charleston District.
Welcome to the Build Strong With Us podcast, where we give our listeners an opportunity to learn more about the diverse people, mission impacts, and career opportunities our personnel experience within the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. In this edition, we talk with U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Dr. Brian Ellis with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Aviation Program Office based in Huntsville, Alabama. Brian spent a career in uniform in the aviation field and is now applying that expertise and knowledge to drive innovation within the Corps of Engineers. Hi, Brian.
Good morning, Amanda Ray, and good morning, Warner.
Good morning.
So, Brian, when did your passion for aviation begin?
Probably at a really young age. I remember seeing helicopters fly over the house when I was a kid, and I thought it would be super cool to go fly, and always wondered what it looked like to have a bird's eye view of the ground, and always thought it would be a great opportunity to see the rest of the world from that perspective. I've always been really interested in globes, maps, any geo intel type information. Definitely having the opportunity to do that and fly the machine was something that I wanted to pursue from a really young age.
When was the first time you actually got to get up into a smaller aircraft, a Cessna or a helicopter or something like that?
I think the first memory I have of flying in a small aircraft would have been probably around high school. My uncle had a private pilot license, and he took me out in a small Cessna. And quite honestly, it wasn't very enjoyable. I've always been afraid of heights, and believe it or not, most pilots, when you talk to them, will whether they admit it or not, it's true that most of them do have a fear of heights or a fear of falling. So you won't ever catch me near a ledge or the edge of a roof or anything like that. Ladders, not for me. Roller coasters are the same, not for me. But we do end up enjoying the flight portion. But that was the first iteration of, I think, me getting up in a small aircraft. I was uncomfortable the entire time.
I would imagine that fear, though, it kind of keeps you safe as a pilot.
It definitely does help with your risk mitigation. You understand what's going on, and that healthy fear of your untimely demise and the destruction of an aircraft certainly do help with your decision making and judgment.
Well, so that kind of ties into something else that I was curious about. So eventually you started with the Army Corps of Engineers, and can you share your background within the Corps and your own journey joining this team, how you swapped from helicopters to Army Corps?
So I retired in April of 2024 from the Army. I spent about 23 years flying the Black Hawk, the UH-60 Black Hawk platform, and really, really enjoyed it. When I left the Army, and I moved into a consulting job right after I retired, and I enjoyed that as well. It was not a perfect fit. I needed to get back into the aviation community. I really missed it, really missed giving back to the community and expertise and experiences that I had had, and wanted to share that with a larger audience. And I didn't really get the opportunity to scratch that itch as much as I would have liked to in the corporate world. And I saw the opportunity appear on USA Jobs for the APO, or the Aviation Program Office in the Corps of Engineers. Went through the process of the application, and it worked out perfectly. I got the opportunity extended, and have been here since mid-January, and I'm really, really enjoying the opportunity. It's a wonderful team that Chris Kernan has put together. I don't think you're going to find a smaller team with as much experience in aviation as you will there. And I did the math the other day. I think the team has about 213 years combined aviation experience. It's pretty incredible.
That's
So,
almost as long as the Corps of Engineers has been around. We're celebrating our 250th birthday this year. You kind of touched on it a little bit, but talk a little bit more about how the Corps of Engineers mission, specifically what you do, aligns with your personal values and career goals.
So the Aviation Program Office, the mission there is to enable the safe, legal, and effective aviation operations for crewed or manned aircraft and unmanned aircraft systems through policies, regulations, and standards, both federal, DOD, and Department of the Army requirements. And that really allows me to use my experience from my time in the Army and my expertise from aviation in the Army to help ensure that we keep especially the small UAS crews within those legal and regulatory guidelines, as well as maintaining their margin of safety, which is the paramount focus of what we're doing. Those laws and rules and regulations are there to provide a framework for everyone to operate those aircraft safely. Using the experience and expertise that I was able to build over my Army aviation career, I get to give back and allow the opportunity to mentor and teach and coach the folks in the field on how best to conduct their aviation operations in a safe, legal manner. And the answer is to get to mission accomplishment for all of the small UAS and the crewed and manned aircraft in the Corps of Engineers, but to do so in a legal and safe way.
You mentioned UAS. Can you explain what that means for our audience?
Sure. Thank you. So UAS is an unmanned aircraft system. Think drone or remote piloted aircraft.
In your time with Army Corps of Engineers, I know it's been relatively brief, but what are some of those major projects with all of that amazing experience that your team has that you've been able to work on that is advancing that innovation within the organization?
The first project that I started working on after I onboarded was a program called OPTIC, which is the Operator's Tool for Information Collection. And it's the software program that will eventually replace MARS, which is the current system. MARS is the Management Information System for Aviation and Remote Systems. So these are software systems that are designed specifically and built in-house with the Corps of Engineers to allow our small UAS crews to manage their personnel requirements for the operation of the aircraft, whether it be currency, qualification, medical fitness, as well as their fleet, which is the aircraft, the payloads, and think payloads of cameras, sensors, LIDAR, thermal cameras, photogrammetry capture devices, as well as the gimbals and the ground control stations or the GCSs. Manage those devices in that software and then plan the mission sets. Go out, conduct the mission, come back, debrief, and make sure that they're doing so safely. Make sure that they're doing so in accordance with published statutory law, regulation, Army regulation, and then have the ability to capture that data on the backside. So the main project that I've been working on is the replacement to MARS. OPTIC will be going live within the Corps in Q4 of fiscal year 25. So in the next couple of months, we'll be going live with that. And that program is going to also be a vector to allow us to process, store, and appropriately disseminate the data that the small UASs go out and collect. The benefit will be, let's say we go out and the crew in the Detroit district goes out and surveys the SULOCs. And depending on the date, time of year that they go out and do that, they may be surveying that for damage from the winter, ice damage maybe. They may be surveying that after a vessel hits it, a ship maybe makes contact with it, and they want to look at it, what it looked like before, so they can go back in and take a look at, okay, well, we flew this a couple months ago prior to the incident. Now it's post-incident. Let's go take a look at what's changed. And they can do that with a phenomenally high degree of accuracy using those tools that the small UAS provides versus putting a human out on the locks, maybe endangering them unnecessarily, and doing so in a way that's very, very efficient versus the ability for someone to go out there and tie off with ropes maybe, or some other more manual way of conducting that survey. The OPTIC program is a phenomenal improvement over what we have today. And I think that the hard work that both the Aviation Program Office and the Army Geospatial Center team and the UCOP team, as well as the GeoAcuity team, which is the development team that are working on this, I think the teams in the field are going to be incredibly happy with what we've developed for.
So you mentioned locks and dams and using LIDAR for that. Are there any particular civil works projects that might be using your LIDAR as well to kind of scan an area, maybe ecosystem restoration, some of those other mission areas of the Army Corps?
I'm sure there are. I would have to pull the debriefs out of the current system to answer that most appropriately.
Yeah, no worries. It just seems like there's so many applicable uses within the Army Corps of Engineers for this type of in-depth update. So that's really exciting.
All right. So Brian, let me ask you, stepping out of uniform, what has been the biggest change for you joining the Corps of Engineers, which is primarily a civilian workforce? We're made up of about 39,000 civilian personnel with about 800 uniformed members. So what's been the biggest change for you as you've made that transition from uniformed member to civilian member of the Army?
I think the biggest change for me has been the pace of operations. And you asked an earlier question about how do I balance what my day-to-day duties are with my work-life balance. And I didn't really get to that, but this is one of the biggest changes. And one of the reasons why I left the Army retired was the operational tempo was no longer really compatible with my family life. The organization that I was assigned to at the end of my career, we still were TDY or temporary duty a lot for training. We were still deploying. We're still on the road an awful lot. And with two young children, that was not working out as well as I wanted it to for my family life balance. I really appreciate the pace of what we do in the Corps, certainly as a support element versus being in uniform in a position that we were doing a lot of deployments. So it really makes a big difference for me to be able to have that work-life balance, and that change is still taking some adjustment for me to get used to. You know, not everything has to be immediate now. Everything is a process. So it's a little bit different for me from that world that I stepped out of into the Corps, but it's great. It's a really great organization, and I really do enjoy the work that I do and the team that I work on in the Aviation Program Office.
Well, and you're still getting to serve. It's just a different way to serve, right?
Absolutely.
So you sort of touched on it just then, but this is sort of one of my favorite questions to ask people. What gets you up in the morning and gets you excited about this position and to support that USACE mission, to support the Army Corps of Engineers mission?
Exactly what you just said, the opportunity to continue to serve and support the field. We really, really enjoy and get a lot of job satisfaction out of helping those folks that are out there performing the mission where the rubber meets the road at the different district and labs and different offices, giving them the tools that they need and giving them the subject matter expertise to help them be more efficient, to operate those aircraft safely, to make sure that they're doing that in accordance with the NDAA and other rules and regulations that we have to abide by, and make sure they're doing it with confidence and understanding that they're doing a good job. That job satisfaction is really what drives me to do well and want to wake up and come to work and show up with a smile every day.
And so with each day, and we know that some days are paperwork days and some days are meeting days and some days, you know, you feel like your feet are barely touching the floor because it's been so successful and you have such a great team. But at the end of the day, whether it's a paperwork day, whether it's a meeting day, whether it's one of those amazing days, what makes it feel like that day was a success? And that, you know, you've achieved that mission and that you get to go home and say, it was a fantastic day?
I think the measure of success each day, especially with the programs that I work on, is incremental improvement. Did we support the field today? Did we answer whatever questions they have? How do we achieve the mission statement each and every day for the Aviation Program Office of supporting the field to help them make sure that they're doing things to standard safely, to kind of get to what you said, you know, how do I do this? And, you know, what makes it the best day, you know, where your feet are barely touching the ground, is, did we help somebody? Did we help one of those offices get the piece of equipment they need to solve their issue, to help them do their mission? Did we push the process along in the development of the OPTIC program? Did we, you know, streamline an effort that needed streamlining to make things more efficient, or to help get things to be less cumbersome? The intent is to make this as simple and user-friendly as possible. Aviation is often looked at as a very challenging, very complex, or intimidating environment, and it doesn't have to be. We are here to help support the field and take away a lot of that misty atmosphere and make it clear for anybody that wants to operate these devices, we are here to support, and that's what makes a great day, is who we helped, how we did it, and did we move the needle on making their life easier?
Let's talk a little bit about innovation. Why do you think that innovation and the ability to constantly look to the future is so important to the very different missions across the Corps of Engineers?
I think by staying on top of current technologies, and certainly with the Aviation Program Office supporting the Corps of Engineers, the ability to go out and conduct survey type missions with a small UAS, or even as we progress in the use of UAS, larger UAS in the Corps of Engineers, it significantly reduces the amount of time and personnel required to go out and perform surveys. And what I mean by that is, a good example, let's say we're going to go out and do a LIDAR mission, and maybe we're going to fly, let's say, a 5-mile swath of terrain. That LIDAR equipped aircraft can go out there and do that in maybe a day, maybe 2 days, depending on what you're doing and the level of detail that you're looking for, versus taking me and Amanda Ray and Warner and a couple other folks and going out there and doing that on the ground. That would take probably at best 3 weeks, maybe more. So the amount of efficiency gained is significant. As the technology changes, the ability to incorporate that appropriately into the Corps' mission of, especially with the responsibility for critical infrastructure, the ability to survey and use that technology appropriately and capitalize on that, the capabilities of it, is really important to increase efficiency as well as accuracy of those surveys.
I love it. Definitely getting to the efficiency part. If innovation can drive efficiencies, that ultimately benefits the taxpayers, not only monetarily, but in their safety and security as well. So that's wonderful.
You talked a little bit about mentorship, and you talked about mentoring the men and women who are out in the field, and not only on the safety side, but the policy, what's within legality. But on your journey, and this could be something from a mentor that you've had or something that you like to tell those mentees, what is the most useful piece of advice that you have received?
I would say the most useful piece of advice that I got during my aviation career was plan the plan and execute the plan. If you plan it, and even if it doesn't, you know, you go out to execute, and even if it doesn't go to plan, you have a way to get back to what you knew was right to begin with and what was safe and what was appropriate. And if something goes sideways, you can come back to it. That's probably the best piece of advice that I got in my aviation career. And I don't honestly think that I share that enough with the folks that I talk to in the field, and I should do that some more.
I really connect with that piece of advice as a scuba diver. The phrase always is, you know, plan your dive and dive your plan. And if something goes sideways, like you said, then at least you have some sort of framework to stick to. So following up on that question, if someone was interested in having a career like yours, what is your advice for starting out?
There are so many different ways to get into the aviation community, whether they want to break into small UAS from the start. It's an incredible field. There's so much going on, and the technology is expanding at such a rapid rate right now, both on the defense industry side with the DoD and currently around the world with small UAS, as well as the proliferation of small UAS and even larger UAS being looked at for technology capability enhancements. Think some of the places that you may want to order goods through and having a UAS show up at your door instead of the electric van showing up at your door with smiles inside, right? So I don't think that my path was the best one or necessarily the right one for everybody. Not everybody wants to go fly helicopters. Not everybody wants to go fly airplanes. But if you have interest in aviation, pursue it. It's a phenomenal field. I have gotten so much goodness out of flying and enjoying and seeing those things that I wanted to see when I was a kid, you know, looking up at the helicopter that used to fly over my house and having been, you know, the guy that gets to sit in that seat and do that for a living. And then now transition to the backside of my career where I'm supporting the folks that are out on the line doing the mission sets based on the experience and expertise that I gained doing what I did before. I would say, if you have an interest in it, pursue it. I don't think that you will be disappointed in doing so. That said, it's not an easy career path. It's not a straight line. There are so many different ways to get into aviation and to stay in aviation, but it's a great and incredibly rewarding career field to be a part of.
And you've certainly made a lifelong career out of it, from a toasty Cessna cockpit to helicopters, and now to changing the innovation and the face of how we actually do LIDAR missions and things like that for the Corps of Engineers. That's a very impressive career. So, Brian, thank you so much for your time today and sharing your amazing story with us. We really appreciate all that you do for the Corps of Engineers and our nation. And, you know, we thank you so much for being a part of our team. Thank you to all of our listeners out there today. If you would like to submit a question or a suggestion for a guest for an upcoming edition of the Build With Us podcast, please send us a note at buildstrongwithus@usace.army.mil. Thank you all.